Matthew chapter 14, verses 13 to 21. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." "We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish," they answered. "Bring them here to me," he said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children.
What are you like when you're hungry? Is it like that Snickers advert where Mr. Bean's trying to break into a building and just doing a terrible job of it? He's making all sorts of noise, and then someone throws him a Snickers bar. He bites into it and he becomes a samurai. The tagline for the advert: you're not you when you're hungry. We know that when we're physically hungry, we need to eat, otherwise it will affect how we start to act. But what do we do when we're spiritually hungry? In this passage, Jesus faces both physical hunger and spiritual hunger. We'll see that Jesus meets both those needs, and he invites us to join him in doing so. The feeding of the 5,000 is probably a familiar story to many of us. We may well have heard it way back when we were children and many times since. It's not a little known part of the Bible, and maybe that means we're at danger of thinking because it's so familiar, it doesn't need a lot of focus. We know what happens in the story: 5 loaves of bread, 2 fish feed a multitude. It's not anything significant. And yet, this is the only miracle of Jesus' earthly ministry that appears in all 4 Gospels. So clearly Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, they considered it worth recording for some reason. And we're going to think today about what reason that might have been. Last week, we looked at the horrific story of the beheading of John the Baptist. And when he hears the news, Jesus withdraws, possibly to grieve, but certainly to get some time away from the crowd, some time alone with his disciples. But when he gets to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, he lands, and there waiting for him is a crowd of thousands. Now, before we think about Jesus here, let's take a moment to think about the crowd. They were so hungry for Jesus, so anxious to see him and hear what he had to say, that they've walked or ran for miles on foot around the Sea of Galilee so that they would beat him to the other side so they can hear what he has to say. And as we look at them today, hopefully that prompts the question: when were we last that hungry to see Jesus and hear what he has to say? Maybe it was today as we got ready to watch this service. Maybe it's been some time, or maybe this is the first time we're even thinking about Jesus and what he has to say. Well, wherever we may be on that spectrum, let's today look together afresh at Jesus in this passage and see why we might be excited and hungry to see him and hear what he has to say. What does this passage tell us about Jesus? And what does it mean for us today? We've got 3 points that we're going to think about today. And the first one is this: Jesus' compassion leads to action. I wonder how we might react if we were in Jesus' position as we come to this place of solitude and instead see a crowd. How do we react when our quiet times in our normal life are interrupted? When we've settled in for a relaxing evening and a neighbour who likes a good natter knocks on the door? Or we've just run a bath and then we hear the children in the next room awake and messing around. Or maybe when we flip open a book and we've started to read, when our spouse says, "Have you got a moment to help me with something?" Perhaps how we'd react in those moments are how we'd expect Jesus to react here as his quiet time is interrupted. But have a look what happens instead in verse 14. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed all those who were ill. Where you or I might be irritated or frustrated, Jesus is overwhelmed with a gut-wrenching pity for the crowds, and that leads him to act. He sees their need and he does something about it. He starts to minister to them. So compassionate for them is he that he sacrifices his time of rest to serve them. And then to keep serving them, when a good time to stop for the day comes, as evening approaches, verse 15, Jesus doesn't want to end his ministry, but extend it by providing for the needs of the people. Three verses earlier, Jesus was seeking solitude, yet now he has the option for it, he rejects it. So moved is he by his compassion. Could you imagine what life would be like if more of us had that kind of compassion, that desire to serve regardless of the personal sacrifice? Rather than hurry the neighbour off our doorstep, we invite them in for dinner. Rather than indulge in our bath and pretend nothing's happening, we get up, sacrifice it, and lovingly put the kids back to bed. Rather than tutting and sighing as we help our spouse, we do it eagerly and ask if there's anything else we can help with. That's the kind of example Jesus sets here. He sets aside his personal needs. And remember, Jesus was fully human. He would have been weary. He would have been tired. He would have been hungry just as we are. But he sets aside his needs to meet the needs of others. Jesus' compassion leads to action, and his actions show that he is God. That's our second point. Jesus' actions show he is God. As evening approaches, the disciples point out in verse 15, this is a remote place. It's getting late. The crowds will need to eat. It's probably very true. They likely worked up an appetite walking or running around the Sea of Galilee. And it's getting close to dinner time. They will need food. The disciples see a good time to call it a day, and we might say that that seems very sensible. And yet Jesus' response in verse 16 says otherwise. Jesus replies, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." Jesus agrees the people need food, but disagrees that they need to leave in order to get it. His solution? You feed them, disciples. You meet their needs here. They do need food, but first and foremost, they need Jesus. It was him that they ran around the sea for. They're hungry for Jesus. That's their first and foremost need. But for the food, the problem is the disciples only have 5 loaves of bread and a couple of fish. It's not exactly a feast and not divisible across the entire crowd. Shared across just the men, they would have got about 1/1000th of a loaf that size. That'd be about 0.09 grams, maybe something about that big. And that's before we even think of the women and children that might have been there. But that doesn't dissuade Jesus. He asks for it to be brought to him, and then he takes the bread, gives thanks, breaks it, and gives to his disciples to distribute to the crowd. Before long, everyone has food. Everyone, verse 20, they all ate and were satisfied. Think back to the last time you were fully satisfied after a meal. How much did you eat? I would wager it was more than 0.09 grams of bread. Jesus doesn't just meet their need, he meets it in abundance until the food is overflowing. There's 12 basketfuls left at the end. Jesus doesn't just meet the minimum requirements when he meets our needs. He provides bountifully for them. And that would remind us of previous heavenly provisions. In Exodus 16, God provides satisfying portions of manna for everyone as they walk through the desert for 40 years. And he does it so that the people will know that he is the Lord their God. In 2 Kings, Elisha miraculously feeds 100 men when the Lord says they will eat and they will have some left over. On both occasions, God miraculously meets the needs of the people to point to who he is, a compassionate, caring, providing, creating God. Here in Matthew's gospel, Jesus does the same thing that God did in those instances. He meets the people's needs so that they might see him. In his provision, Jesus points back to an all-satisfying, providing, caring, compassionate, creating God and shows himself as the same. It wouldn't surprise me at all if that's the reason that all four gospel writers felt the need to include this story in their gospels. They want us to see and recognize Jesus for who he is. He is the God that provides and satisfies. When we come to him, he meets our needs bountifully. Jesus' compassion leads him to action. His actions show that he is God. And finally, Jesus' action calls for our involvement. This is not solely a story about Jesus. You may have noticed that at every stage, the disciples are included. It is them who bring the need of the people to Jesus. In verse 15, they will need food. It is them who bring the resource to Jesus. We have 5 loaves and 2 fish. In verse 17, and then Jesus appoints them as the workers. They're to be the distributors in verse 19 and the collectors of the leftover in verse 20. They play a central role in Jesus's work. They come to Jesus with what little they have and he puts them to work, helping them to do the task. You feed them, Jesus said. And the disciples did that with Jesus providing everything that they needed. We may think that we can't offer much to Jesus for him to use. Maybe we find it hard to believe that Jesus would want to use someone like us. Our past is too sinful, our addiction too strong, our faith too weak, our talents too small. But remember the disciples here who could offer next to nothing to Jesus. And yet Jesus uses the little that they had for his glorious purpose. Feeding the crowd probably seemed an impossible task for the disciples as they realised what they had to offer was inadequate. And maybe we feel similarly, but Jesus bridges the gap. Even when we come to him with nothing, Jesus provides bountifully what's needed to achieve his purposes. What the disciples did was give out what Jesus provided them with. And it enabled people to experience God. What we need to do today is the same, is to hand out what Jesus has given us, his word, so that we can create an opportunity for people to see him. That's Jesus' work that we can still be involved in today, regardless of our inadequacies or our shortcomings. When we come to the end of what we can give, Jesus will provide bountifully, because he is the compassionate, caring, providing, creating God who wants to share his work with us. We'd do whatever we could to satisfy someone else's physical hunger. Well, Jesus calls us to be involved in satisfying their spiritual hunger. You feed them, Jesus says. Bring to me what you have and I'll provide the rest. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for this miracle of the feeding of the crowds. Thank you for what it shows us about Jesus, his compassion, his divinity, his glory, and his majesty. Thank you that he wants to involve us in his work. Would you help us to be those that bring to Jesus what we have, whatever it may be, however big, however small, and ask Jesus to use it for his purpose. Help us to be ready to go out and do his work that he sets out for us. We ask this in his name. Amen.